Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until, 2 o'clock here just about this afternoon. Kind of a chilly, somewhat drizzly, depending on where you're at day here today. I thought we had hit springtime or almost some warm weather there earlier this week, but I think we're still in the low 40s out there, I think, right now. I thought it was supposed to be a little warmer than that today. I was optimistic, hoping that we would see a little more warmth, but it's only the first day of May. What can I say? I still remember my sister when she got married, and this is 30-some years ago. The first weekend in May, we came out of the church, and as we're all getting ready to do pictures and different things, it started snowing, and it came down with those great big flakes that coated the lawn really quick, and it was unexpected, and so she had some unique pictures. I remember they went down around Hinkley Lake. There's a couple spots, scenic overlooks and things, and they went down there, and they took some pictures with the snow, and so it was kind of an adventure. So here we are, northeastern Ohio, and kind of a drizzly, cool, feels more like a May or March the 1st, I think, almost today than May the 1st, or at least April 1st. I'll go back a month. But at any rate, glad you're here with us today, and we are going to get started here this afternoon. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll jump into things here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Thank you again that we do have a measure of freedom and liberty here in the United States, that we can do these things. So we just pray that you would bless, help us to point people to Christ that are searching, help us to encourage believers in our walk with you, and use us for your glory, that we might uplift and glorify Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I want to certainly extend you an invitation to visit us. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. From there, you can link to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can link to our YouTube page, and I am actually in the process of sharing this over to our YouTube page right now, and over to our Facebook pages. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can watch on there. And then, of course, at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, we have past programs there. We have other things in addition to links to our home church, links to our YouTube page, and our home church has a YouTube page as well, where you can actually watch some of our services. We've been blessed to have some online services going for a while, and I'm thankful that we had that in place. We've tried a variety of different platforms lately. We have been using YouTube, and that seems to have been working the best right now. And so I encourage you to check us out there. If your church is not having services and they're not online, I know not every church is able to do that. I hope you might check us out. And then there's a number of churches that are currently, of course, having services. And certainly, I know if you can find a good Bible-believing, independent, fundamental, King James-only premillennial Baptist church, that's what I would certainly recommend, since I'm the pastor of one. And good talking with Pastor Lutz as he was exiting the studio here. He is going to be getting back to the live services at their church, at the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, starting this Sunday. So pray for them, encourage them. If you're out there in that area, be a great church to go to. And then, of course, following us here is going to be Pastor Andy Rusnacko. He pastors the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and they have been having services all along, and you can find them. Well, they'll have their information coming up here after 2 o'clock, and they are meeting there basically at the corner of Chardon Road and Euclid Avenue, if I believe. It's just about the corner there, and just a little to the north of Euclid there. In Euclid, Ohio, they'll be on, and there is a good place to check out. And then, of course, we're down in Richfield. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And we certainly invite you to come out. We have a Bible study tonight. We have a Friday night Bible study every Friday night, Lord willing. And it starts at 7 o'clock. It's informal. And in fact, our radio programs are derived from doing these Bible studies. And we invite you to come. If you're not doing anything tonight, you want to get out, we're obviously, all the disclaimers. If you think you might be sick, you shouldn't come. If you feel at risk, you shouldn't come. But if you're like 90% or more of the people in the country, you're not probably at any real risk. And so we invite you to come on out, and obviously we try to take care, wash hands, use hand sanitizer, all that usual stuff that's important. But as Pastor Lutz brought out in the last half hour very clearly, there's the numbers just do not support some of the things that are being done to cripple our economy, force people to live under house arrest, to keep businesses that should be open, that should be functioning, to keep them shuttered and closed and threatened if they try to open. Well, I told Pastor Lutz as he was leaving the studio, I said, you took my program notes. I was thinking about talking about almost exactly the same thing that he brought up, but I actually had decided this morning, even while looking at some of those things, that I was going to go in a little bit different direction here. This first Friday afternoon in a while that we've not had any guests on, and I wanted to share something, because all this talk about the coronavirus, people suffering, COVID-19, the Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it, things get overwhelming to people, and I've had to deal with some people that, quite frankly, are frightened by what's happening. And, it's just like if you followed some of the governor's pronouncements, actually I should say Dr. Acton's pronouncements, because as the Ohio health director, she's the one who's actually in charge. And according to the statutes that they're going by, she's the one who issues the orders. Lieutenant Governor Husted said on the Bob France program over in our sister station 1420 this morning, when he was interviewed, he said, "Well, the governor is in agreement, and he has to, the way the statute's written, she has to be the one that signs the orders and all." If our governor is in agreement with what she's saying, then our governor needs to open his eyes up, because the numbers are not there. People are not dying by the tens of thousands like they said that they were afraid would happen. And the hospitals are not overflowing and running out of bed space like Dr. Acton said we were in danger of having happen. And that's why initially we had to have a 15-day quarantine, or our self-quarantine, a shutdown, stay-at-home order. And then they extended that for another 30 days or so for the month of April. And then we were supposed to begin opening. And now they're extending the stay-at-home order through the month of May. And this study after study now is coming out showing that this is doing us no good whatsoever. And it, in fact, it could be actually causing a measure of harm. There's a thing called herd immunity that is being prevented. And I wanted to get into some passage here to hopefully give us a little hope of what we have to look forward to as Christians. But before I do that, let me just share something with you here. I read an article, and it was in AmericanThinker.com. I have it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And the article is entitled, Remember the Hong Kong Flu. Now, the Hong Kong Flu struck the world in the 1968-1969 flu season. Now, I was about 9 years old when this happened, and I have some vague memories of the Hong Kong flu. The Hong Kong flu quickly became a pandemic, and in the world, there was over 1 million deaths from the Hong Kong flu in just a few months. And in the United States alone, there were over 100,000 people who died from the Hong Kong flu. Now, the thing with this is we did not shut down. We did not issue stay-at-home orders. We did not close our economy down. We did not have all of these things, these draconian actions that are taking place. Now, people washed their hands more. People endeavored to keep from transmitting the disease and everything, but we didn't have these on-again, off-again orders that we needed to have masks every time you go out into public. And by the way, masks in the right circumstances are good. But now, I've got a biology background. My wife is an RN, and she is working currently in situations where she has to wear all the personal protective equipment. But can anybody explain to my wife and I, because we've had conversations about this, why a mask is suddenly going to be required on May the 4th if it's so important that these masks have to be required on May the 4th? Why didn't the governor require them immediately, as in when he gave his order on yesterday? Why didn't he order them on April the 4th? Why didn't he order them on March the 4th? Do you see what I'm getting at? Is something happening with the virus on March the 4th, on May the 4th, that suddenly we have to have a mask on May the 4th when we didn't have to have them before? Now, of course, I say on-again, off-again mask orders because at one point the governor said you have to wear a mask if you go anywhere, and businesses are not to let anybody into their stores, into their businesses, unless they have masks on. And then he backed off from that and said, well, you know, a lot of people don't like that, but the businesses, the workers, the employees all have to have masks, but we strongly recommend that the people coming into those businesses and into those stores have masks. And it's changed a little bit in its application even since then. It's hard to keep track. It changes so much. And first we had to flatten the curve and all these things. But here's what a mask does. A mask, when you go out and you see a bunch of people in masks, it makes people fearful. I was in a couple of different grocery stores this past week, and I'm a people watcher, and I was watching people's reactions. And there are people who genuinely are fearful. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a grocery store, and a lady was going around muttering to herself. She looked like she was on the verge of a breakdown, and she kept muttering to herself, and she had a headband, one of those wide headbands that you kind of use in the wintertime to cover your ears, and she had that over her mouth, nose, and then down around her throat, and then over her mouth and nose, and she kept muttering, going, I don't know what I'm doing here. I guess I better wear this. Oh, I don't know if I need to wear this. Something's going to get me anyway. And she's just muttering to herself all through the store. I ran into her a couple of times, and I felt bad for her. People are scared by seeing these masks out there, and there's evidence that they're not really helping, unless, of course, you're somebody who needs to wear one of the masks. I didn't want to get off on the mask too much. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine. But back to this thing with the Hong Kong flu. Like I said, over 100,000 people died in the United States alone. Now compare that figure to less than 64,000 people dying in the United States so far from COVID-19. Do you begin to see that we're overreacting here in our response? There's just no comparison between how we reacted in 1968 and 69. Say, well, maybe if they did that, there wouldn't have been as many people dead. Well, yeah, you can make that argument, but our estimates of millions of people dying in the United States were based on people wearing masks and doing social distancing and staying at home. But here's the thing. COVID-19, we still can't open up because it's going to be around, and we can't open up until there's a vaccine. Did you know the Hong Kong flu is still around? The Hong Kong flu is still around. It's influenza A, and it makes its circuit periodically. It's mutated to the point where it's not as serious as it was in the 1968-69 flu disease or pandemic. It's the H3N2 virus. It's a seasonal influenza A virus, and they give vaccines, and sometimes the vaccines are a little more effective than others. It changes a little bit every once in a while, and so we've continued to live with the Hong Kong flu virus that killed far more people worldwide, far more people in the United States, and I presume far more people in the state of Ohio than COVID-19 will probably ever kill. And it's still with us. Just like COVID-19 will be with us for who knows how long. You know, SARS is still with us. MERS is still with us. Well, it's easy to get overwhelmed with all of these things, and I had a funeral that I had to do earlier this week, and in the funeral, I was requested to bring a message from Revelation chapter 21, and I thought, well, I've never really been requested to do a funeral message from Revelation chapter 21, and the lady was older, and I had been visiting her for quite a long time in the nursing home, and she was ready to go to be with the Lord. She knew Christ as her Savior. And Revelation chapter 21 was one of her favorite chapters because it talks about where believers are going to be, our home that God is even now preparing for us. In Revelation chapter 21, it starts out in verse 1 as by saying, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, the timing of this is set in the future. There are several events that are required to take place that the Bible says will take place before what John is recording here occurs. And one of those things is what we call the tribulation period. It's a 7-year period. It's laid out for us in Daniel chapter 9, a vision that Daniel had there, as well as other locations in the Bible. The book of Revelation talks in detail about the events during that 7-year period. That 7-year period known as the tribulation culminates in an event, a war, which is called the Battle of Armageddon. You may have heard of that. And there's a number of things that take place during that tribulation period that the Bible indicates that we will see foreshadowing of. And I believe that these pandemics, the COVID-19, as well as the unusual increase in volcanic activity that we're seeing in the world today, the earthquake activity that seems to be on the rise in some parts of the world today. Also, various insect plagues. There's a plague of locusts, sweeping across North Africa up into the Middle East was the greatest that had been seen in decades. There's a second wave now of these locusts that is bigger than the first wave. And so there's these plagues and all number of things. There's movements right now. May the 14th, the Pope had scheduled, I think he's still planning on doing something with it, an announcement, a thing where they were going to announce a global initiative to educate the world on the need and how to bring about a global government and bring all the religions together as one. And all these things are taking place, foreshadowing of the tribulation period. And of course, before the tribulation period occurs, the believers are going to be caught out of the world. I don't have time to get into that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting about verse 13, going into chapter 5. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last half of the chapter there. But after all these things take place and the Lord returns to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation, there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ where the devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The end of the 1,000 years, he's released for a little season, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, where he goes out to deceive people on the earth. There's going to be people born during this millennial kingdom, and they're the survivors of people who came to faith during the tribulation. And we will be back here as well, the redeemed that have been caught up to be with the Lord and received a redeemed body. We will be back as well. And these people who have been born here, they'll be born with the sin nature. We won't have that sin nature ourselves, but those that survive the tribulation will, and they will repopulate the earth during that time. And I don't have time to, I know I'm going quickly here, but when that is taken care of and that final rebellion is put down, the devil is thrown into the lake of fire and for all eternity, and the great white throne judgment takes place. And after all of this, the Bible says a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then it says this, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the place set aside. The description of it, we don't have time to go through all the details, but the foundations garnished with all manner of gemstones, precious stones, streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all these incredible descriptions. And then it says in verse 22 here, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In this new Jerusalem, which is being prepared in heaven, comes to the earth, and God himself is there, and the glory, the light of God shining out of this city, can you imagine, reflected and refracted off from the gold and the pearl and the various gemstones that it's garnished and composed of, incredible shifting brilliant colorations of light that reflect and refract down on the earth. And it says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And this is the eternal state. The believers of this period of time, the church age, we call it the age of grace, better term, are going to be the primary occupants of that new Jerusalem. It says it comes down to the earth. And if you read it carefully, it doesn't say that it sets on the earth. The implication is that it hovers over the earth, perhaps in some kind of a geosynchronous orbit. Because the kings, the people on the earth, these are the people who are made up of the believers from other ages. And the people there will walk in the light of it and have access to it. Perhaps it'll provide the entrance into the spiritual realm as well. But you know what? There's only one way to get there. It's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," you say, "Well, I'm none of those things, so I'm okay." But then it says, "And all liars," we've all lied. If you say you haven't lied, you just lied, "shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." See, that's why we need Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay for our sins. When we put our faith in Christ, believing that he paid for our sins, the blood of Christ cleanses away all our sin. He puts his righteousness on us. He no longer sees our sin, and we'll be welcome in that city. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? We're getting close. Listen for that trumpet. Trust Christ. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.